visiting with us tonight. We're glad you're here. We appreciate very much your presence. And tonight we want to call your attention to several things. First of all, Matthew, Dan, Angela, and Nicholas Goldberg is visiting with us, and they have some folks over in Florida. And we want to remember all the Floridians, as well as praying tonight for those in Texas and those in Louisiana, as Stuart has already indicated in his prayer. Certainly good, these good songs that we have had tonight, and we appreciate that, Will, and we just pray and trust that our service will be acceptable unto God. I've asked David King, how do you do, David? And also Al Burns to lead us in special prayers in a few moments. And then I ask Brad Christopher to lead us in the song 215 concerning praying. Hear me when I call. When we look at prayer, we think about praying. And we know God has said so much about prayer. And as a result of such, surely we want to do everything we can to engage in prayer. I don't know exactly where my little... Oh, there it is. Tell you what, you can lose things and find it just exactly where it's supposed to be. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, "Be careful for nothing but in everything." Now I want you to notice the expression, "in everything." "By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now what did he say? Paul said, "In everything, engage in prayer." You know in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Do you sometimes feel that your prayers have no power? That they are not very effective? Prayers can be powerful. They can be effective. And they can avail much. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, notice the ones of whom we are to pray. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Then notice, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Whether we pray aloud or pray silently in our hearts in fleeting moments of need, prayer is a personal form of communication where we can speak directly with our Father in heaven. He knows each of us by name, and He loves every one of us. He hears our prayers, and He answers with wisdom, empathy, and compassion. Sometimes those answers come in a very direct way, concrete ways. However, by other times, they are more subtle. They're through impressions, maybe, or promptings or feelings of peace. We can go to our Father with desperate questions, with humble confessions, or with gratitude. We can pray to better understand Him and His plan for us. And as I was typing these things up this afternoon, I was thinking about myself. Where do you pray and how often do you pray, guy? You know what? There's formal prayer where you just pause, you get on your knees, and you ask God, and you may pray for several minutes unto God. There are so many times I'm driving down the highway. Are you like that? For example, just the other day after I talked to Betty, and my mind was on Philip. And right there while I'm driving, I'm praying for Philip. I don't know how often, maybe even in the early hours of the morning, when I'm awake and I'm studying suddenly I began to think of someone who has got cancer, Frank Kyle. And I'll pray to God and ask God to bless Frank. I'm sure many of you are doing the similar things. In other words, different places and different times, you pray unto God. We confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 10. We find peace, and there's great peace that comes to our mind when we know Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, pray for everything. We find strength to make us to live a holy life. We want to be holy before God. Ephesians 3, 14. Wisdom to guide us through our life. Healing from sickness and from sin. Then we need that peace and tranquility in our time of need. So we go to God and we pray. Look at the privilege. We have Jesus as our mediator, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. And Jesus is our advocate with the Father, 1 John 2, verse 1. Jesus intercedes on our behalf, Romans 8, verse 34 and Hebrews 7, 25. He's our high priest. He makes prayer possible for us, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And look at the Bible. Look at the examples. When Peter was in prison, what did people do for Peter? Well, the answer is, as the Bible states, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It's a wonderful thing for God's people to pray. David's going to lead us in a prayer now. David King, would you bow your heads and let's all together pray to God as he leads us in that prayer.
For humbling me just to let me come here and pray before you. Lord, I know that you are our creator, and I know that you're the one that we worship. Lord, I ask you today to help me be a better person so that I can worship you in a better way. But Lord, there's so many things that I want to thank you for. For my health to be here tonight, just so that I can worship you. Lord, I want to thank you for my church family and just the building that I get to come to. But as I pray to you, I also have the thoughts in my mind that I want you to be with those people that are suffering right now that don't have a place. They don't even have a place to lay their head tonight, Lord. But I'm asking you to take care of them and comfort them. The people of Texas, the Louisiana, Florida, and in a day or so, it'll be the people of Georgia and Alabama. Lord, I ask you to be with each one of us as we try to serve you each day and to be a better person and a better Christian so that we can bring people to you. To let them know that you are the only one and you are the only way to get to heaven. And Lord, we know that we got to have Christ, your Son. And we're thankful that you sent him down here to die for our sins. Lord, I ask you to be with each one of us as we continue to listen to Brother Guy's message. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. There was a famine that was predicted. We find this recorded in the Bible in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. When you find out that people are having it difficult, when you learn about people that are under distress, that do not even have food to eat, what does that do to you? Well, the Bible says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. They're going to do what? They're going to share. They're going to give. They're going to send money or help to their brethren. And look what the Bible says. Determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which not only were they determined to do it, but they did it. It's not just talking, but it's also doing the walk. And they determined to do it. Now they do it, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Why? They were ready to help their brethren. Their brethren is in need. And now they want to share with their brethren. In Romans 15, Paul writes about a need at Jerusalem. And notice that he says, beginning in verse 25, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Paul, why are you going to Jerusalem? I'm going to take the money that's been given for the saints and carry with me. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the," what? Saints that are poor. They're called poor saints, which are at Jerusalem. "It hath pleased them, verily their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered for them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Paul, where are you going? "I'm going to Jerusalem." "Why are you going there, Paul?" "People have loved the saints of God, and I'm taking the help that they are that were given to them." You know, when you find Christians who are suffering, that are in need, but then you find Christians who have something, and these Christians who have something hear of a need, what do? Like you did this morning. Just exactly like you did this morning. Matt was telling me tonight that they're still getting more money tonight. Just think, you people have had an opportunity to share. We have all had that great opportunity today. And it ought to do this church a tremendous amount of good to know that there's already thousands of dollars are ready to be now sent to those who are in need. Friends, when you read the Bible, and you're not only determined to do the will of God, but you want to be sure that you do it. That's what we had this morning. Al Burns will now lead us as we pray tonight. Let us bow.
Let us pray. Our Father, as Brother Guy just mentioned to us, what a church should be and what a membership should be, we want to come to you now and pray for this group here at O'Neill. Help us, Father, to not be just hearers or readers of your word, but believers and doers. And may our faith be one that is actively expressed. We pray for our elders that they would always use Scripture to oversee this congregation. And may we as members be hungry for your word. May we work in love. May we work in peace with those around us, and with a united effort to follow Christ. Help us to develop meaningful, lasting relationships here, Father. And may we use our individual talents for the work here. May we train up our children, both at home and here at church and in our class program, and help each of us to accept personal responsibility for ourselves in this effort. And we thank you now for all the many blessings that you've given to us here at O'Neill and individually. We have homes to call our own. We have comfortable beds to sleep in and clothes that we wear as the seasons change and food to eat. And you've given us opportunities and careers that allow us to earn a living and provide for the things that we need. So may we consider those who are less fortunate, those who are homeless, those who are hungry, those who are poor, those who are sick, disabled, depressed, and those who feel lonely. And may we hear their cries for help. May we offer assistance, as you've certainly helped us. May we be compassionate toward them, as you've certainly been compassionate toward us. May we be giving, as you have been giving toward us. And may our love toward them be an extension of your love for us, Father. May we use the ministry of helping others as an opening to talk about your will, which is the greatest ministry of all. When we see a need, help us to joyfully react, thankful that we have an opportunity to do good. And most importantly, Father, may our efforts in this way bring glory and honor not to ourselves, but to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Pray for the sick. As I mentioned already, I may spend some time. Every so often I think of Ann Griffin. She's gone through a whole lot. And she still needs our prayers. When you think of her, just pray. When you think of others in this congregation, just pray. Mention them by name. Pray for the sick. There are people that are so distressed. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for them. Their hearts are broken. When you find young, middle-aged, or old, pray for them. Pray for those who have been told they don't have long to live. When I was at Weatherly, a young man was told he didn't have long to live, and he didn't. I never will forget when he told me that the doctors had told him this time next year, in all probability, you won't be here. I prayed for him. I worked with him. He died in less than a year. For those who've gone astray, they're lost, they just quit serving the Lord. Think about them. Pray for them. And remember our elders. As Al has just mentioned, and David and all the others that pray are praying for all of us. Pray for them. They're men who love you, that care for you, that sacrifice so much for the cause of Jesus Christ. Pray for preachers. If there was ever a need, surely preachers need prayers. Paul even says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Pray for all things. Don't ever cease to pray. Pray for those that are lost. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear you record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I've got family that I'm praying for. I'm sure you do too. People who are lost, who have no hope of an eternity with God as they are. I asked Brad to lead the song. He loves this song and I do too. Think about each word that we sing. Brad, would you come now? Would you lead that song for us all? Remain seated, if you will. Think about it. And listen now as we call upon God. O Lord, hear me when I call. There's someone who penned the following that really applies to me. How often do we find ourselves telling others what they should do in reference to the will of God? But how often do we ask ourselves, are you doing it? Are you doing what you should do? Someone wrote these words, and I want to share them with you. It says, heal my broken heart, my Lord. Heal my broken soul. I feel torn apart, my Lord, and you can make me whole. Take me in your arms, my Lord, and hold me to your breast. I am oh so weary, Lord, and you can give me rest. Wipe away my tears, my Lord, with gentle hands of love. Quiet down my fears, my Lord, with graces from above. Stay with me a while, my Lord, for I feel all alone. I'm like a little child, my Lord. With you I feel at home. Help me bear this cross, my Lord. Help me with this pain. Unite me with your cross, my Lord, and I'll be strung again. Tell me how to cope, my Lord. Let me hear your voice. Encourage me with hope, my Lord. Your way, my only choice. Set me on my feet, my Lord, and stay here by my side until I feel your strength, my Lord, to walk in steady stride. Nudge me on my way, my Lord, but stay not far behind until I reach that day, my Lord, with renewed peace of mind. And on that day, I will say, my broken heart is healed, my Lord, and so my broken soul. You are all I need, my Lord, and once again, I'm whole. The Apostle Paul makes a statement in the Bible where he says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I've often told my family, God's been so merciful to me. In Luke chapter 18, there were two that went into the temple to pray. And I've always said, I hope and pray to God that my attitude in preaching and teaching, that my attitude as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, and a great-grandfather, that my attitude would always be, Lord, help me to realize that I'm the one that needs the mercy, for I'm the sinner. You felt that way yourself sometimes? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us pray. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon each one of us here in this church. We need you every hour. We realize that we fall far short of what we ought to be. We just pray that you'll give us strength, that as we come to you, Father, all broken, that you will heal us. We know that if we confess our faults, that you've promised that you will forgive us. Tonight we confess our faults before you. We pray that you'll forgive us and help us to be better people, that we'll be devoted to you. And Father, help us to get ready to come home. Lead us gently. Please bless this church. Bless all those people for whom we pray tonight. All who are in harm's way. Bless them, Father, and help us to do what we can to encourage them. Lead us gently on through life. And if today we, as others have done, already come into eternity, we pray that we'll be ready, that our souls will be well with Thee, and that we can have a home to live with You forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't ever stop serving the Lord. You be faithful. serve God. And what a wonderful joy it's going to be at the last. To finally hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Tommy Smith and I were talking here some time ago how that some people have given up and no longer serve the Lord. He made a statement I really appreciated and will never forget. And he said, "We're so close to home. We can't stop now. Yes, it's just a little time. And most of us, or many of us, will be going." And I hope and trust that all of us, as we pray for one another, help each other, that we'll be ready, finally, to enter in that glorious home. Remember what Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. Oh, we want you to be a Christian. Won't you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized? And if you're a child of God and you want us to pray with you and for you tonight, won't you come while Will leads us in this invitation song? Let us sing. Someday you'll stand at the bar of life. Someday you'll...